You know, regardless of the level of observance of Jewish families, most will either take part in a Rosh Hashanah service or at least mark it in some way within their family, as it's considered a major date on the Jewish calendar. And I remember growing up, I lived in a very secular home. But Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur were dates that we certainly did come together as a family. We may not have totally understood the reasons why, being as secular as we were, but we knew as Jewish people we came together. And yes, there were a couple of times that we went to synagogue as well on these dates. Now, Rosh Hashanah is the most common name for the holiday, but it does go by a few other names. It can go by Yom HaZikaron, the Day of Remembrance, or Yom Teruah, the Day of the Sounding of the Shofar, and Yom HaDin, Day of Judgment, since it's believed that this is the day when God recalls all of his creatures and determines their fate for the year ahead. Together with Yom Kippur, which follows in 10 days, it is part of the Yamin Noorim, Days of Or, or High Holidays. The holiday of Rosh Hashanah is not mentioned by name in the Torah, but it does appear under different names in the Bible. The only place in Scripture you actually see the words Rosh Hashanah are in Ezekiel 40, verse 1, where the holiday is not named, but the words are used to state the time of the year in the events of Ezekiel 40. Now, just like the name, the traditions that we connect with the holiday today also don't appear anywhere in the Tanakh, anywhere in the Old Covenant. And unlike most other biblical festivals, the Torah does not provide any guidance as to how the festival is to be observed. I wanted to bring elephants in. They said no. Said it's not in. They said it's not in Torah. I said nothing's in Torah about this holiday. Don't worry. Well, today we place importance onto Rosh Hashanah for a few reasons. Just like the secular New Year, we want to renew our lives with new and better intentions and attitudes, because the attitudes and actions that we resolve to change on Rosh Hashanah can have a tremendous impact on our lives during the rest of the year. Another important reason that's placed on Rosh Hashanah is that we relate to God as the King and as the ultimate judge. Tradition says that the book of life is opened before Adonai on Rosh Hashanah, and then it's closed on Yom Kippur. And everyone's fate is going to be judged in those days. Our Jewish brethren believe that we become our own advocates for our personal inscription in this book. We review the choices that we've made over the past year, our actions and our intentions, as we attempt to honestly evaluate ourselves. Our Jewish brethren believe that their actions of the year will determine if they are in that book of life for that year or not. They also believe that they can change the outcome with their actions over these next 10 days between now and Yom Kippur. These 10 days are called the Days of Awe, and they are we're told that they should be used to consider how the life over the last year was lived out by taking a deep dive to see who they are, how they've acted over the last year. And as I said, many think that it's also the time that they should be on their best behavior to earn their way into the book of life. So you'll see Jewish people doing acts of teshuva or repentance, and tefillah or prayer, and also tzedakah or charity, perhaps to be better in the future, but also to use the good deeds done to help outweigh the sins of the past year so they can be judged worthy in the book of life, because they believe there's this giant scale. And if they do more good than harm, that they're okay with Adonai. But if they do more harm than good, then they don't get into the book. The Mishnah, or the Jewish writings by the sages, teach that there are four new years in the Jewish calendar. This is a concept which may seem strange at first, but it's really not so different than what we do in our life as well, right? We have the secular new year, a brand new start to things. But then we also have a new school year, another new start of things. Businesses have fiscal years, a brand new start to things. And then we have birthdays and anniversaries, a new start to things. So, you know, it really isn't that different from how we think, having multiple new years. Now, the four new years that are on the Jewish calendar, the first is in the month of Nisan, which is like right around March in our secular calendar. It's the new year of kings. It's the date used to calculate the number of years each king reigned. So regardless of, you know, how long they were, it always went from that date to that date, Nisan. The first of the Hebrew month of Elul, which is around August, is the new year for tithing cattle. And just like you would say how many years a king was in reigned, is the age of a cattle is the same way. Regardless of when it was born, these are the days you count it by. The first of the Hebrew month of Tishrei, which is September and sometimes October, that's where we are currently, is the agricultural new year, or the new year of years, when we change the year number, which is why we're here today, not just to change a number, but to celebrate Rosh Hashanah. This year, the Hebrew calendar goes from 5785 to 5786. And you know I'll be writing the wrong date on my checks for a while. And the final of the New Year's is the 15th of the Hebrew month of Shavuot, somewhere in January, February. It's known as Tu B'Shavuot. It's the New Year of Trees. And like the kings and the cattle, trees have the same birthday. So when it says that you can't eat the first 3 years of fruit, it's by those days. And if the next year is all a sacrifice to the Levites, and then you finally get to eat. So a tree has to be 4 years old before you can eat its fruit. Now, Rosh Hashanah has traditional readings during the service. So for the evening service, the traditional Torah reading and teaching comes from Genesis 21, which is the birth of Isaac, with a Haftorah reading from 1 Samuel, which covers the birth of Samuel. And for the daytime service, the traditional reading is from Genesis 22, which is the Akedah, or the binding of Isaac, with a Haftorah reading from Jeremiah, which speaks of the redemption, saying that although he scattered Israel, he will then regather them back to his land. So Rosh Hashanah is a new year for the believers in the feasts of Adonai. It represents a time that we come into this presence, but also a renewness of time. Not like the time before. He gives us an opportunity to start anew or to be renewed in our lives by our thoughts and our actions. Much like the secular new year, where people make resolutions to change. So at this time of the year, we get the opportunity to make a choice to change our ways, to be renewed in and by the Ruach, or by the Spirit, and in Adonai. Both the Torah reading and the Haftorah reading can be seen as relaying stories of renewal or of new life. Now, of course, the births that are seen in both Genesis 21 and with Isaac and Samuel, the birth of Samuel. But the parents, they also had their lives renewed. New things were happening. and their lives were being changed forever. I'm not trying to scare you. Being renewed means being changed by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, meaning that there are changes in us and the effects of the Ruach on us and those around us. In Hebrew, renew is often expressed by the verb hadash, which describes something that was recently created or was not previously known or used, or it's in its original condition. To be renewed in the spirit of your mind involves a partnership with us and with Adonai. It takes on our part a conscious effort to shift our thinking away from worldly patterns and towards God's perspectives, which is what I'll be talking during tonight and tomorrow about. When people think of renewal for the world, they could also think revival. People use the word revival thinking that includes both those that had known Messiah in the past and those who never did. But that's actually an incorrect usage of the words. For those who have never known Messiah, what we're really looking for them is an awakening. The dead flesh and spirit within them to be awakened for the first time to and by the power of Adonai. For those with previous knowledge of Messiah, they're not being awakened, although it sounds right to us, but they're being revived. They were alive in Messiah, and now they've walked away from the Lord, are dead and in need of being revived. That reviving of the dead believer is actually a renewing of who they once were back to the life that Adonai wants for them. They were renewed by the love and mercy of Adonai. So what we actually want for the world today is an awakening for those who have never known Adonai before, and a revival for those who need to return to their past relationship with Adonai, and even a better one this time, not just back to where they were. So tonight I want to look at a bit of what renewal does for us. And then tomorrow morning I'll speak on what the steps of renewal can look like in our lives. If we look back at the definition of renewal that I gave earlier, I said that hadash is getting to the place in our lives where it is as if we were recently created, or that we are in an original condition. Although I don't want to go back to our birth, as we were born sinners, but I do want to go back to our first love of Adonai. That time when he was so important in our lives and took up all that we could see. Do you remember that time in your lives? I hope most of us remember that we're not too far from that. But for most of us, we've drifted a bit. Some have walked away, and some have ran with the intention to get as far away from God as possible, like Jonah did. But even for Jonah, there was a way back, and there is for us as well. Even if you were never near Adonai, never before knew who his Messiah was and what it meant for your life, there is a way to Adonai, and really a way back to him. Because even if you never knew him, he created you. So what you're trying to do is get back to him. What he wants you to do is to get back to him. So what does it look like? It looks like we are more aligned with him. where our thoughts and attitudes and actions are aligned with him instead of with the world. When Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, wrote to the Colossians, one of the things that he said to them was to line up with Adonai. We see this in Colossians 3. Starting in verse 7 of Colossians 3, at one time you were walking in these ways, when you used to live in those ways. But now set them all aside: anger, rage, malice, slander, and foul language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. After all, you have taken off the old self with its practices. He wants them to review themselves and then renew themselves by aligning themselves with Adonai. His words and his desires for how they are to live out their lives was that they align themselves with God. Not with him, but with God. They once were not aligned with Adonai, but now they are, to take the time to look where they are and to change if needed. We're not to think that it's only those that see others living sinfully, but it's for all of us to take time. Not really just during the high holiday seasons, but all the time, to see where we are with Adonai, if we're lined up. Because how long do we want to go off his path before we see where we are and then have to make that correction, or have Adonai make a correction towards us? But it's also a good time to remind ourselves and to tell others as well that Adonai does not want us to think that we are too far from him for renewal. That we think we're so far away that we'll never be able to get back to him. We are never too far from Adonai to be redeemed, reclaimed, and renewed. We know that Adonai never changes. So we look into Lamentations and see that even as Israel was so far from him, that he still was willing to take them back when they turned back to him. Now remember, Lamentations is a crying out for something that's happened. For the book of Lamentations, they were lamenting over the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BCE. We read in Lamentations 3 this, starting in verse 17 of Lamentations 3, "My soul has been deprived of shalom. I have forgotten goodness. So I said, my endurance has perished, and my hope from Adonai. Remember my affliction, my homelessness, bitterness, and gall. Whenever I remember, my soul is downcast within me. This I recall to my heart, therefore, I have hope. Because of the mercies of Adonai, we will not be consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Adonai is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." Have you ever felt that way? Deprived of peace and giving up your endurance because it's running out. You have no breath left in you to even walk anymore. All you can think about is what's going wrong, and you're so downcast, you feel like you're in a pit. And that pit is deep, so deep that even Adonai can't reach you. That's the way you feel. But his mercies and love never fail. Regardless how long or how far you are from him, he is faithful to you. You are faithless. He loves you with all your heart even then, regardless. So we can still and always will have the option to realign ourselves with His Word. And when we do, we can be transformed. This is where King David was in Psalm 51. He just realized the sin he performed with Bathsheba and needed that renewal from Adonai. He cries out to his God this, Psalm 51:12. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence. Take not your Ruach HaKodesh from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. David knew how far he had gone from Adonai, but also knew that regardless of how far he was, he knew the long arm of Adonai was longer still. And God was willing to reach out with that long arm in his love. He didn't want just to be brought back into the presence of Adonai, but he wanted to be transformed so that he could be in the presence of Adonai forever. He had an understanding of who Adonai is, and that unlike men, that he does not ever get tired and he does not give up on his creation. This is why Isaiah said this about Adonai in Isaiah 40, starting in verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Adonai is the eternal God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow tired or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives strength to the weary, and to one without vigor, he adds might. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But they who wait for Adonai will renew their strength. They will soar up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow tired. They will walk and not be faint. As we look to be renewed by Adonai, we have to understand that not only does he not tire like us or of us, and that his love will never end, but that he is able to lift us up and give us strength. He transforms us from the tired and weak to the ones who can run to him and with him. This knowledge of who he is and what he can do is also a renewal of our awareness of who he is and what he wants from us. It is a renewal of our minds so that we can better and more fully be aware of what his will is, and not just for us, but for the whole world. And we seek to be renewed by him. As we seek to be renewed by him, what we are doing is looking for renewing of our relationship with him. Call it what you will, a renewal of the relationship with God the Father, or the Son, Yeshua, or the Ruach. They're all the same since he is all the same. The one God who is the Father, the Son, and the Ruach all at once. The one God in all three forms, all the time. Part of our renewal process could be the renewal of our understanding of this. For some, it's the first time it's being imparted upon them who Adonai is in his triune nature. The process of getting to know him better or again, or for the first time, all includes getting an understanding of that triune nature of Adonai. As we gain progress in our renewal process, we gain in our understanding of his will as well. Then we get a better understanding of who he is, what he can do, and what he wants from us. Look what Shaul, or the Apostle Paul, wrote to the Philippians. Philippians 4, starting in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the shalom of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Messiah Yeshua. The peace of God, which we do not understand, will be there to help us. In fact, as we progress in our renewal process, that which we don't understand, like the peace of Adonai, will also progress in our minds and in our hearts. We gain an understanding of God's will by the advancing in him through our relationship with him, and the understanding of his word by being in his word. That understanding of his will and his ways helps us to understand the supernatural nature of who he is, and also who we are. Look at what Shaul wrote about our being renewed and about our living out our lives in these fleshly bodies of ours. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our trouble, light and momentary, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. As we look not at what we can see, but at what we cannot see. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Even though the outward body is tired, yes, me too tight, even though the outward body is tired and is breaking down, we are renewed inwardly day by day by him. That means that we are turned to him each day. And when we do turn, we are changed and transformed by him each day within. We are not the same, so we do not react to the things that happen to us the same way. The things that happened last year, they were for then. And I would say, even if you're still struggling with some of them, relative to eternity and time, it will be but for a little while. A season that we had to go through to build your strength and to produce the person you are now. And the person you're going to become. So that you can help others who are going through the same thing. But we've gone through it. We've conquered it by the Ruach. So we can help others to find their way to conquer. When we think on what he has and will do, the promises that he's made to you personally and through scriptures, this should give us a new perspective on him and on ourselves and our lives. We are not the same, but he is always the same. That means that we can get through the trials of life if we keep going with him. That also means that we need to give up the world to take him on. This is the action that will transform us into a renewed man. This is what Shaul said in Romans, chapter 12, verse 1. I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We are transformed and renewed by the giving up of the world and the acceptance in a deeper way, the ways of Adonai. In order to be renewed, we have to die to the flesh, the sins of the body as well as the mind. We put aside the old things and take up the new. But being of flesh, that means that without wanting to, our flesh sins again. So we need to be renewed again, or to take it up again and again and again. It is something that we know, that our bodies push to the side and sin again. This causes us to be unfit to be in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We become filthy and unable to be before Him. It's up to us to make a conscious decision to stop sinning and to start acting or restart acting in a way that will please Adonai. And we'll go through some of those steps tomorrow as I continue on with this message. All right. So we're going to jump right back into our service again. Not that I jumped out with that. But I do want to welcome those who are here for the first time. Where is my... There it is. So each of you who are here...